Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you have a question or something you'd like to discuss on today's broadcast, well, give us a call at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. As believers in Christ, we live in Christ. As John says in chapter 15 of his gospel, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. So our new life in Christ is lived in Christ. So as believers, we live in Christ. That's not something that we have to try to do. We've been placed into Christ. So that's our dwelling place. Now, in this new dwelling place, there's a new way of living. So we're no longer under the law, but under grace. So when we were living in Adam, when we were living in the world, we were under law. We were under the law of sin and death. But through the grace of God, through the saving work of Jesus Christ, we're taken out of the world, out of the realm of darkness. We're placed in Christ. So we have a new dwelling place, and we have a new way of living in this new dwelling place. And it's not under law, it's under grace. Here's what the Apostle Paul said in the book of Galatians. For if a law had been given that could impart life, then righteousness would certainly have come by the law. So the law can impart life, as wonderful as it is. It was God-given. It's holy, it's righteous, and it's good. As wonderful as it is, and as all of those wonderful things that the Word of God says about the law, it was weak in that it could not impart life. So all it could do was judge us, condemn us, and hold us captive until someone came that could give us life. And that someone is Jesus Christ himself. So the law does not have the ability to impart life. If it did, then righteousness would have certainly come by the law. But Scripture has locked up everything under the control of sin, so that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. So what does the law do? It locks us up under the control of sin. That's where we were. It keeps us. It guards us right there until a time comes when we can be released, set free from the law of sin and death. Now, before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came that we might be justified by faith. So now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So when we were lost, when we were of the world, in the realm of darkness, in Adam, we were under bondage to the law of sin and death. And then when Jesus arrived, faith showed up. We were set free from that law of sin and death. That was our guardian for a period of time. And it released us into full control, full custody of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So we live in Jesus, and then we walk by faith in Jesus. As Paul said in Galatians 2:20, we have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So if we're going to be established in truth, we need to recognize two things, that now we live in Jesus. That is our residence. So let's get comfortable in this new dwelling place. We were really comfortable with the world. Yeah. Now let's get comfortable in this new dwelling place, Christ Jesus himself. And as we get comfortable there, let's recognize that we are no longer under the law of sin and death. We are under the grace of God. And it's the grace of God that saves us, that saved us, and it's going to be the grace of God that empowers us to live this new life in Christ Jesus. So, believer, are you under the law or under grace? Well, the Word of God is very clear. You are under the grace of God. Get established there. Stand firm in the grace of God. Grow in the grace of God. And this life that you have in Jesus Christ, you will be able to experience in its fullness and in its abundance.
Yeah. Well, a full and abundant life. I think that's what most people who are serious about their faith are looking for. And here at Basic Gospel, we want to help everyone listening to this program get to that point. We want to help you hear, believe, and live the full and abundant life that can be found only in our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why we're offering Bob Christopher's CD, Established in Truth, to those of you who support this message that you hear every day on Basic Gospel, supported, of course, by your prayers and by your gifts. And we hope that you'll go online to basicgospel.net, click donate, or phone 844-322-2742 and make your generous gift to help this ministry spread the good news to more and more people across North America and literally around the world. We'll send you this CD, Established in Truth, to say thank you for your partnership with Bob, Richard, and me and this wonderfully dedicated staff here at Basic Gospel. Together, we can help many people hear, believe, and live this good news of Jesus Christ. So again, click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. Well, right now, open lines 844-322-2742. Surprisingly, that's the same number, 844-322-2742, and it's good in the U.S. and in Canada. Guys, a question from Michael, who wrote to us through the Basic Gospel app. He says, Jesus counsels the rich young ruler in Mark 10, 17 through 22. What if I was the rich young ruler, he asks? Am I to sell my worldly possessions, take up my cross, and follow him? Question from Michael through the Basic Gospel app.
Well, that's an excellent question. And, you know, the rich young ruler, you know, thought that he was doing everything that he was supposed to do in order to inherit everlasting life. Now, Jesus was on the scene. He came. He had an understanding of the law. He had an understanding that he was living up to those laws. So he wanted to get Jesus to say, hey, you're doing A-okay.
Yeah.
But here's the limitation of the law. It's only external in nature. It doesn't speak to the heart of a human being. So we may live out the law externally, but miss it drastically on the inside, in our hearts. And Jesus, throughout his teachings in the New Testament, in the Gospels, is always talking to the heart of man. He says the heart is the problem. It's not what we put in our mouths that defiles us. It's the very things that proceed out of our heart. And so Jesus answered with a heart statement. In your heart, you have a dependence upon your wealth for your meaning and purpose to life. Yes, you're carrying out these commandments, the few that you've listed, you're carrying out those commandments, but in your heart, you're committing idolatry.
Mm-hmm.
You are worshiping your money. You are saying that your money is the very source of your meaning and purpose to life, the very source of your happiness, the very source of your life in this world. That's idolatry. And if you want real life that's abundant, that's free, let go of that dependence upon your money and embrace Jesus. Because only in Jesus are you going to have real life, genuine spiritual life, a life that is abundant and full. So Jesus took it to his heart, and he realized that, hey, I can't give up my money. And that was a sad thing, wasn't it, Richard?
Yeah, it was. But notice the mercy of Jesus here. I mean, it says Jesus looked at him and loved him. He knew what this guy's problem was, and he was willing to confront him on his problem and say, come to me and find rest that you're looking for. When we read something like this, if the Lord is telling us to sell what we've got, it's probably because the Lord knows we're in an idolatrous relationship with all the things we've got. But don't ask the question and say, well, because I've got money and he had money, I have to sell my stuff. That's not this at all. It's the idolatry issue that you've been talking about. Jesus wanted this guy to walk by grace through faith, and he just couldn't bring himself to do it at that moment. That's the sadness here.
That is the
not
sad
that he
thing.
Was rich, but because he couldn't make that choice.
So to our listeners out there, you may be dealing with some things in your own life. There may be some things that have bound you up. And the question that Jesus would have asked that rich young ruler is, do you want to go free?
Mm-hmm.
And that same question is on the table for you. Do you want to go free? Do you want to be released from those things that are controlling your life, that are robbing you of the abundant life that's available to you in Jesus? Well, simply receive Jesus. Mm-hmm. Recognize that he's the source of life. He came that you might have life. Receive him today, so that you can go free, so that you can receive a new heart that's going to love God. And as you live in that love for God, you will see that love being expressed for others. And it will be the greatest decision in your life.
Yeah.
Don't hold on to the things of the world. Don't hold on to wealth. Don't hold on to popularity. Don't hold on to prestige or power or the desires of the flesh. Recognize that all of those things are going to leave you empty on the inside. None of those are going to meet the deepest needs of your heart. Only Jesus can do that. That's why he said that he was the bread of life, that he was the light of the world, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, that he is the good shepherd, he is the gate, he is the resurrection and the life. Jesus said those things. Why? Because he was saying that he and he alone can meet the deepest needs of your heart. So don't hold on to things in your heart that are of no value. Let go and embrace Jesus. Receive him today. Ask him to come in and be your Lord and to be your life.
Well, Michael, thanks for writing to us. Hope that's a help to you. We love hearing from you, our listeners, and you can call and be a part of this program right now if you call 844-322-2742 in the U.S. and in Canada, toll-free 844-322-2742. We got time on the clock. We want to hear from you. We heard from Corey overnight through the app as well. He says, my question is in reference to Acts 8:14-25. In the narrative, Samaria is said to have received the word of God. Then in verse 14, it says that Peter and John went and prayed that they received the Holy Spirit. Is it just that our Christian language today is different than it was then? Receiving the Holy Spirit is saying that they got saved. In verse 14, saying they received the word of God, meaning they opened their ear to hear the word of God without conversion. Or that's a question he was asking. Is this called reconciliation?
Well, the word had gone into Samaria, but God wasn't ready to impart the Holy Spirit to them until Peter and John could be on the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And that was so vitally important, because when Jesus asked the question of his disciples, who do you say that I am? Peter stood and he answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And at that moment, Jesus gave to Peter the keys to the kingdom. So it was his job, his task, to unlock the doors to the kingdom to all the various people groups. And that's what the book of Acts is, at least through the first 10 chapters. So in Acts chapter 2, Peter takes the key that Jesus had given him, and he unlocks the door to the kingdom for the people of Israel. So on the day of Pentecost, God poured out his Spirit upon the people of Israel, Jewish people. And then in Samaria, here in chapter 8, God decides to pour out his Spirit upon the Samaritans. And he wanted Peter to be there to use his key to unlock that door to the kingdom for the Samaritans. And then we see the same in Acts chapter 10 when he goes to the home of Cornelius and he explains the good news about Jesus to Cornelius and his family, who were Gentiles.
Yes.
So he used this key to unlock the door to the kingdom for the Gentiles. So once those doors had swung wide open to Jew, Samaritan, and Gentile, then the message just spread like wildfire. Paul took it from there, he and his team, and they took the message all throughout the Roman Empire. And it has been spreading to every single people group ever since. So all we're seeing here is that the word about Jesus had made its way to the Samaritans. Peter and John needed to be there to witness the giving of the Holy Spirit so that they could testify to everyone that God shows no favoritism, that he saves all, Jew, Samaritan, and Gentile, in exactly the same way, by grace, through faith in Jesus.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate, as I said, hearing from our listeners. Friends, I want to remind you once again that Basic Gospel is indeed a listener-supported broadcast, and we need your help to continue to spread this good news in North America and literally around the world. If you can help with a donation today, simply go online to basicgospel.net and click that prominent donate link, or you can call the same number, 844-322-2742. You can call that anytime, 24 hours a day, to make your gift. And when you do, we'll send you a copy of Bob Christopher's CD called Established in Truth. We want you to have a copy. So again, donate online at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. Well, guys, a question from Chris. Actually, we have a call on the line there.
Well, and before we go to this caller, I wanted to make mention of our upcoming conference in Chicago,
That's
March
right.
9th and 10th. It's the Simply Jesus Conference. I will be there. It's a joint venture between Basic Gospel and Andrew Farley Ministries. So I will be there. Andrew Farley will be there. And we will be working through the hotspots or the significant passages in the book of Hebrews to lift up the person of Jesus Christ and the new covenant that he ushered in at his death. So as believers, we're no longer under the law, but we're under grace. And what is this grace? It's the grace that's revealed to us in this new covenant in which we live today. It is going to be a powerful, life-changing conference. The cost is $49. We want you to be there. It's filling up quickly. So go to our events page at our homepage, basicgospel.net. Find out all the information about this wonderful seminar. It's actually at Emanuel Hall in Hinsdale, Illinois, a wonderful little community there. Our good friend Mike Stone is helping to put together the details of this conference. But go register today and come join us March 9th and 10th in Chicago for the Simply Jesus Seminar.
I know those who are in attendance are going to be terrifically blessed by what they hear.
Well, Andrew and I had a chance to talk about the conference this weekend together to really focus our attention on what we're going to be teaching and prepare some of the notes for it. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, as we talked about it, the more excited we got. And we just can't wait. We just absolutely cannot wait to bring you this good news that the writer of Hebrews has delivered in such a magnanimous way. I mean, he lifts up Jesus in this new covenant like no other in the Word of God. And if we understand what the writer of Hebrews is saying to us, man, our lives will never be the same. Our relationship with Jesus Christ himself will reach levels we've never believed imaginable. So come join us March 9th and 10th, Simply Jesus, Hinsdale, Illinois. All the information is at basicgospel.net on our events tab. So join us.
Yeah. Once again, it is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. I'm glad that you've joined us. Bob, we have a call now.
Yes, we do. Let's go to Louisville, Kentucky, and talk to Mary Jo. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hello. My question is this. I called about 1 John 1:9, and you said it was actually a parable for a non-believer. And I got to thinking, how did you derive at that?
Well, Mary Jo, it's a wonderful question. And how I got to that conclusion, how I made it to that conclusion, was simply from the overwhelming evidence in the New Testament about the finished work of Jesus Christ. So, for example, in Acts chapter 10, when Peter was speaking to Cornelius, he said that everyone who receives Jesus, who believes in his name, receives forgiveness of sins. So if you have believed in Jesus, if you have received Jesus Christ, then you have received forgiveness of sins. In Ephesians, Paul said in verse 7 of chapter 1, in him, so in Christ. So when we receive Jesus, we are taken out of the world, the realm of darkness. We are placed in Jesus. That's where we live. That's where we abide. That's our home now. It's in Jesus. And that's our permanent, eternal dwelling place. So in Jesus, Paul writes, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So when we're in Christ, we have forgiveness of sins. We also see in 1 Peter that Christ died, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. So he bore our sins in his body, and he took them away once and for all. We read in Hebrews chapter 10 that Jesus Christ offered himself once and for all, and that as a result of his once for all sacrifice, he makes us holy in God's sight and perfect forever. So that would be impossible for him to do if he had not first taken away our sins. So he took away our sins, and in this new covenant in which we live, he says he remembers our sins no more, and where these have been forgiven, past tense, all of our sins have been forgiven, past, present, and future, he says there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. So, and then on top of that, he says that because of the work of Christ, he gives us his very righteousness. So he took our sin, he who knew no sin became our sin, became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So there's this overwhelming evidence that says that in Christ we are totally forgiven, that all of our sins have been taken away, have been removed from us, and sent away from us as far as the east is from the west. And so with that being the case, then you look at this passage in 1 John 1:9, and you realize it can't mean that we as believers are going to need more forgiveness. Why? Because God has given us all the forgiveness we could possibly need, all of it. All of our sins have already been forgiven. As John wrote, I write to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. So, with that being the case, you look at the context and you realize that he's actually speaking to people who say they have no sin, who deceive themselves, who do not have the truth in them, and they say that they have not sinned and they make God out to be a liar. Well, those aren't Christians. Those are unbelievers. And to those, if they confess their sins, then they're going to find God to be faithful and just, to have forgiven and to have cleansed. Well, Mary Jo, we're out of time. Hope that helps.
Yeah, thanks for calling, Mary Jo. We love hearing from our listeners. If you have a question, drop us a line at bob@basicgospel.net or call anytime, day or night, 844-322-2742. We'd love to address your question here at Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and we're glad you're with us today. Friends, if you want to grow as a believer, if you want your Christian life to be abundant and full, you need to be established in truth. And that's the name of the new CD by Bob Christopher. We want you to have a copy when you make your gift this month to Basic Gospel. And you know all the ways to do that. Well, we're out of time. And now for Bob and Richard and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be with us again tomorrow at the same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.